But I have a different thought this morning, and I want you to go to Romans 8 and verse number 1 and verse number 2. And I will travel through this chapter. If you are a Christian, can I give you some pastoral advice on how to study the book of Romans 8? You can't really actually know Romans 8 until you understand Romans 6 and Romans 7 and then Romans 8. Let me say this to you. Romans 8 is the horsepower of the Christian life. It is the power of Jesus Christ in your life. And I want you to notice Romans 8. But I'm going to give you a story. And I have one person in this room that was here or with me over 30 years ago. I was in Riverdale, Georgia, at Riverdale Baptist Church. I was at a Rock of Ages prison ministry conference, one of the largest conferences I had ever been in. I had supposed to preach on one day, and I didn't preach till the latter part of the week. And God had moved in a great way. But the story is this. On Friday night, I don't know if you remember this, Steve, but there was a man that had traveled from California all the way across the United States to meet someone at the Riverdale Baptist Church. The man that had traveled, his life had collapsed. He had just went through a divorce. He had substance abuse. He was on a Harley Davidson, if I remember. I can't remember all the story, but he was a mess in his life. He came into the church and he couldn't find the person that he was looking for. But his whole goal in coming was, I want to start over. I want to start over. That night, even before I got done preaching, you remember, Steve, that man walked down the aisle, came and received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And that day, he started over. I want to preach a little series of messages entitled Reasons for Returning. And today's message is this. It's never too late to start over. Romans chapter number 8 in verse number 1 says this. There is therefore. Now, ladies and gentlemen, anytime you see the word therefore, it points you back to what has been said in the previous chapter. The previous chapter was this. Paul realized when he got saved. Somebody help me here. Paul realized when he got saved, he was now two people or two. I had two natures. I don't know about you. This verse has confused a lot of people. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I want you to know something. When I got saved, I became a new creature on the inside. However, that didn't change the fact I still had an old Adamic nature that was at war with my new man. I am 65 years old. Today is the end of 38 years at Taze Valley Baptist Church. I've been pastoring here for 38 years. Next Sunday I start my 39th year. Can I tell you something? I realize it more every day of my life. I still got two natures. They still are at war with each other. But therefore, listen to this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Let me say four things by way of introduction. When we start thinking about starting over, you're going to have four adversaries. First of all, you're going to have Satan. You know what Satan's job is in everybody's life here this morning? to really tell, paint a picture to you, there's no hope for you. Not only will you find Satan beating at your door and saying, I got you, and you can't escape my grasp. But I want you also to know the sinner. There's sinner people will tell you. By the way, sinners tell other sinners that there's no use trying. Let me tell you, you may be influenced by somebody today. And by the way, it might be good to ditch that influence that will tell you you got no hope. To tell you you have no future. To tell you you can't start over. But I want to tell you I've got a God that can take your life and change it for the good. And you can turn around. You can have a difference made in your life. All you need to know is there. That is therefore no condemnation that to them that are in Christ Jesus. There's a God that can deliver you. Whew, glory to God. I'm going somewhere. Y'all stay with me. Not only will Satan tell you you can't start over, sinners will tell you you can't start over, society says you can't start over. And this is bad. There's even some so-called saints. They'll tell you, you can't start over. But the fifth one I want to give you, and I'll leap into my thought. Yourself will tell you, you can't start over. You know what has happened to some of you in this room? You have made a mess of your life. And everything that is within you says, I can't start over. I can't have a fresh start. I want to give you some things from the Word of God. Some reasons for returning. Luke number 1. At chapter 8 and verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Number one, write this down. You can start over because Christ's pardon erases my past. I can't give you anything more powerful than that. I'm glad that the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, the pardon that is in Christ Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ can erase your past. Let me give you three thoughts under that. How many of y'all know what the number one cause of hopelessness is? Guilt. I'd say there's people in this room right now, and maybe you're saved. You're ridden with guilt. Psychiatrists say that the number one problem with people in this world is guilt. And you may look at me and say, preacher, don't you have some skeletons in your closet? Well, I'm going to give you something. Ask me why I'm happy. My sins, they're all gone. You say, where are they? They're all under the blood of Calvary. They're gone. I want to say to you the remedy for guilt, the remedy for guilt is the blood of Christ, and your sins washed in the blood, and you clean, you're clean in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, hear me. And the more guilt you carry, the more hopeless you become. I remember talking to the man in Riverdale, Georgia. He went over probably 15 things with me about his past and his guilt. He told me how that he had broke his wife's heart. He told me how that he had broke his parents' heart. He told me how that he has broken his children's heart. He told me how that he couldn't hold a job. He told me how everything seemed so hopeless. But you said, what'd you do, preacher? There's only one thing you can do this morning, and that is to point people to Jesus, to tell them there is a pardon, and that pardon is final. And I'm glad that God doesn't throw the clay away. And I'm glad that God is able to save anybody, anytime, and anywhere. And God can take any fallen Christian and restore you anytime and any place and anywhere. Whew. Well, glory. Number two, why can I return? Number one, because Christ's pardon erases my past. Chad, look on here. Look at verse 2. Whew, glory. Because Christ's power controls my present. For the law, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Now hear me. We feel the most hopeless when our lives are out of control. I'm one of those guys, and my wife will tell you it's a classic fault of mine, that likes to have a little bit of control. What are you ducking your head, Denny, for? You're worse than I am. And she'll tell you, you want to try to fix everything. And I want you to know something. Y'all want to know when John Smith is at his most helpless time? Is when I'm not in control. There's some of you, I'm looking you right in your eye this morning. Your life is out of control and you feel helpless and you feel hopeless. I want you to know something. That's a terrible feeling. But listen to this. Let me go on. Not only do we feel helpless when our life seems out of control, we feel hopeless when there are things about ourselves we can't seem to change. Look at me. There's some of you this morning have changed. You have turned this over and turned it. You have constantly tried to change things that's happening in your life. There's only one way to change, and that is to give yourself to Jesus and let Him control your life. And the more you yield to Him and the more you let Him have your life, the happier you are and more content you are. And most of you here this morning whose life is out of control, it's because you're trying to do everything without God. I don't know how far I'm going to get with this, but go over to Romans chapter 6. Just a minute. See, number 3 under this, the more we yield control of our life to God, the freer we become. Somebody help me there. The more I give my life to God, the freer I become. Look at Romans 6 and verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, but that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. But what then? Shall we sin because we're no longer under law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom you obey. There's some people in here that's lost. Your whole life's turned over to the devil. And there's sadness here. There's some people in this room that's saved. And you've yielded yourself to the flesh. Get up here, Jared. I about called you Chad, and I don't know how in God's name I done that. your God. Grab a hold of me. I'm trying to yield myself to you. Take off. You're God. You're trying to direct me.
God's a lot stronger than
that. Oh, yeah. Hold it. So here's what some of you are doing. You know the only hope for you is God. Why are you pulling against Him? Why is it? You want to know where happiness is? You want to know where joy is? You want to know where peace is? You want to know where fulfillment is? It's where He leads, I go. He has control. That's why the Bible said, be not drunk with wine, where it says, but be filled with the Spirit of God. The only hope for you is that the Holy Ghost of God, who dwells in you if you're saved, and if you are not saved, He doesn't dwell in you. The only hope for you is for Him to control your life, and you become free from those things that are pulling you down. Amen. Number three. Y'all getting some of the Bible? This is Bible. I'm just going down the Bible with you. Amen. Go down to verse 28. What we learned so far. First of all, we can return because Christ's pardon erases our past. Secondly, we can return because Christ's power controls my present. Thirdly, we can return and look at Romans 8:28. Oh, grab this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Number three, we can return, and it's not too late. Because Christ's purpose transforms my problems. This verse does not say all things work out the way I want them to work out. See, I think that's what some of your problem is. They don't usually all work out the way I want them to work out. But they work out for God's good. Let me give you four statements here in this verse. See, I really believe Christ's purpose in my life transforms my problems. Look what the verse says, and we know. That means we absolutely know. We have confidence. Let me ask you a question. Do you know that everything happens in your life if you're saved? God can use and work for your good. You say, preacher, I've got stuff in work in my life where it's a physical problem, emotional problem, a spiritual problem. You say, I don't understand how that can work for my good. I want you to know all things. I know that. Let me give you some more. I want to give an illustration right there. Let me give it in a moment. Not only we know, then we also know that God calls us. God calls all things work together. See, that means life is not a result of fate. But it's a result of design. I want you to know, I believe God created the heaven and the earth. I believe we have a great designer. I don't believe in evolution. If you believe in evolution, somebody dropped you on your head when you was a baby and your brain fell out. There's no truth to it. There's a great designer. A great creator. And what happens to you is not fate. What happens to you is it's a design of God to work for your good. And I don't understand this next verse, but all things means both the good and the bad. I've had some bad things happen to me. I've had some bad things happen to me that I caused. I Oh, come on now. Y'all, am I the only one? I mean, I've made some choices in life, and you've made some choices in the life that has caused you pain. But I can tell you this. I can look back at my experience and tell you that God even took those painful times and used them to make me who I am today. I tell you what I didn't do. I didn't quit. I didn't stop on God. And thank God He didn't stop on me. Woo! Thank God He wasn't done with me. See, that's what the devil's trying to paint to you. God's done with you. There's no hope for you. There's no help for you. There's no way out. There is a way out. There is a God. There is a God that has a great design for your life. Work together for good means God even uses our mistakes and our hurts. I've used this illustration before, but I can't think of a better one. My wife is the best cook in America. And she learned to cook from her mother and her mother's gone now, she used to be the best cook in America. My wife is known for bread making. She can make bread. She can make Alabama biscuits. She can make you mushroom rolls. You get about a half a pound of cow butter and pour them in there. But what she's known the best for is her cat head biscuits. I'm ready to break my diet this morning. And one day I went in and we were happy to be in fellowship that day. He said, what about every day now? Sorry. Just that day. And I sat down and she was making them cat head biscuits. I was watching her pouring all them ingredients in. And she said, stick your finger and take a bite. I did it too. I went in there and got me a big old layer of that. And it ain't like pudding either. Went in there, got a big layer of that junk. She got grease and Crisco or whatever she puts in it. And I went, my God of mercy. I went to the bathroom. I was wanting to throw up. 30 minutes later, oh, I'm about to get happy. 30 minutes later, she pulls the oven open and hands me this gorgeous biscuit about that big around, a little bit brown on the top. I got me some real butter and I put it in. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the greatest experience of my life as far as eating. That was an eating experience. But hold on a minute, Ray, I got the finished product. But I didn't like the process. I don't understand this, but there's some good things happen, and there's some bad things happen, and some in-between things happen, and you put them all in the pot. But when the master stirs it all up, when the master puts us in the oven, when it comes out, it's good. I can tell you this morning. You may be feeling some pain. You've had your ups and you've had your downs. But there's a great God of great design that is able to take you this morning and change your life. Because He is in control. I think I'm going to have to finish this tonight. Okay? Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to ask you a question. How many here this morning would say, Preacher Smith? And I don't want no phony junk. I don't need you to tell me what I want to hear. Preacher Smith, if I die today, I know I'm going to heaven because of the grace of God. Slip your hand up as high as you can get it. Hold them up. Thank you. How many right now? You say, Preacher Smith, my life's a mess. I want it to start over. I want hope. Well, you're not saved. You couldn't raise up your hand. But how many right now, God's convinced you it's not too late to start over. He still loves you. And you want to be saved. Just raise your hand. I see that hand, sir. I see that. Come on, just slip it up. Preacher, I want my life to change. I want to start over. I see that hand. You may put it down. I see you. Yes, ma'am. I see you. That's great. Somebody else. I'm not saved, preacher, but I want to be. I want my life to change. I'm sick and tired of it going in this cycle. I'm sick and tired of my life, the devil ruining everything about me. But I want to be saved. And I want to change. And I wonder how many Christians. You're here this morning. When they sang that song, I remember the day, you remember today. But today, you feel hopeless. You feel out of control. Sin's got you. And you say, Preacher Smith, I want to start over. I want a fresh start. I want to feel clean and I want God to take my life and use me. I'm saved, but I need that. How many Christians you need to start over this morning? Slip your hand up. I see it. I see it back there. I see that. I see it. I see it. I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray. If I was you that raised your hand just a minute ago, say, I want to be saved. Head bowed right now. Just head bowed. You folks that raised your hand and said you want to be saved, look at me. If you raise your hand, will you look up at me? Nobody's looking at me. Nobody's looking. Honey, you want to be saved? Would you like to be saved today? You can have a life worth living. Starting today. Yes. What I want you to do, you folks without Christ, I want you to step out of your seat. You folks that's here and you just feel like, Preacher, I need my life to start over. The only way, Christian, you can start over is real repentance and really turning from your sin and saying, I want God to take my life. It's the only hope. Will you bow your heads? I'll pray. Everyone that raised your hand and even those that didn't, I pray you'll come. Our Father, thank you for this message. That there's still hope in Christ. There's folks here that raised their hands that they're not saved. I pray, God, this morning they'll get saved. And then there's some here this morning that has walked so far away from God, they feel hopeless and out of control. Will you be their stability again? Will you be their strength again? And I'll praise you in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen.